So if they shoot, they're obeying. Guys, this is serious. Come on. Congratulations to everyone to making it to the end of the year. I want to open up with a concept that not a lot of people talk about. And I feel like it's a concept that leads to so many people falling. And this concept is something called the shrug. So when your friend comes up to you and he says, yo, let's go to Minyan. Yo, let's go learn for half an hour, whatever. And you just shrug your shoulders and in your mind you're thinking, I know you're right, but I'm just not in the mood. And when we go back, it's very, very tough when we go back. Me personally, I haven't been back yet. But from hearing what all the guys had to deal with when they went back for Bein Ezmanim, seeing how some of them came back, and even when people went, when we were in America for the summer, seeing how people were when they came back and when they were when we left, it's very, very tough when we go back. And we need good friends. We need friends that are going to lift us up, not bring us down. We need friends that are going to tell us that when we're doing something wrong, that we're doing something wrong. I had a friend, when he came back, he told me a story. He went back to wherever he lives. He met all his friends, all his old friends, and they came up to him and they said, yo, like, this isn't you. Come on, this isn't you. We want the old guy back. We want the guy that's going to go drink with us. We want the guy that's going to go party with us. The guy that's going to go hang out with girls with us. We want that guy. We want the guy pre-Torah and mitzvot. We want that guy. We don't want this guy. And Mesilat Yesharim writes that even after a person has understood his obligation to serve the Eternal and the need for vigilance in this area, we often see that he becomes lax about his duties or transgresses in some of them in order to avoid ridicule by his friends or even to gain access to their company. When we go back, our friends are going to be waiting for us. Our old life is waiting for us. The test is waiting for us. Yo, do you want to go drink with me? Do you want to go hang out? It's just a couple of girls. It's not such a big deal. They don't know how bad it is. We know how bad it is. It's a physical world when we go back. And Mesilat Yesharim writes that if a person is drawn towards this world and distances himself from his Creator, he will be corrupted and corrupt those around him. Let's focus on the first part of the quote for 1 second. If a person is drawn towards this world and distances himself from his Creator. If a person distances himself from his Creator, he's distancing himself from the Torah. Let's just look at the Torah, not in a religious point of view, just a regular view. I'm sure we can all agree that the Torah just makes sense. That the basic laws of the Torah just make sense. When Rav Shor came here, he said it's a flipped world without Torah. Look at the world that we live in today. We have this whole LGBT thing going on. We have kids getting angry, picking up guns, going to shoot schools. Right? We have people going to secular college next year. And they're... Wait, let me get to my joke. I didn't even get to it yet. We have people going to secular college next year and their roommates are going to identify as an it or even a cat or something like that. I don't know. We have the way we treat people, the way women are treated. It's a crazy, crazy world without Torah. Torah is a framework to life and it's the only way that works. Now, as a person goes on to distance himself, it says in Parsha B'chukotai, it gives the process of how this happens. And it says in the Pasukim, "Ve'im lo tishma'u li, ve'lo ta'asu et kol ha'mitzvot ha'ele." If you don't listen to me and you don't do these mitzvot, "Ve'im b'chukotai tim'asu, ve'im et mishpotai tigal nafshechem livilti, asot et kol mitzvotai la'afrechem et berti." And if you will consider my status revolting, and if your being rejects my ordinances, so as not to perform all my commandments to annul my covenant. In Rashi, it says, "La'afrechem et briti," to annul my covenant. And it goes on to say, "Harei sheva averot," there are seven sins. "Harishona goreret hashnia," the first one brings on the second. "Vechen ad hashevi'it," and so forth until the seventh. "Ve'eluhen," and they are the following. Lo lamad, a person stops learning. Velo asa, a person stops performing. Mo'es ba'achirim ha'osim, he abhors others who perform. Sone et ha'chachamim, he hates the chachamim. Mone'a et ha'achirim, he prevents others from performing the commandments. Kofer ba'mitzvot, he renounces the commandments. Kofer ba'ikar, he renounces that which is essential. And what is essential is Hashem. And as a person goes on to corrupt himself, it's sin after sin after sin, until Mesilat Yashrim writes that he doesn't know what's right and wrong. Things appear as they aren't. So a person can just shrug his shoulders and keep going and keep going and keep messing up. And that leads to corrupting those around you. Now right now, who's around you are your friends. So a person might say, okay, whatever, it's just my friends. They want to do it too. They're telling me, let's go out, let's go drink. Whatever, it's their fault also. Okay, fine. So let's focus on something else that I hope we'll all care about a little more. What about our future family? What about our future wife? What about our future kids? And the opening verse, Tager Taramban, speaks about this, and it says, Shema b'ni Musar avicha, ve'al titosh Torat imecha. Listen, my son, to the discipline of your father, and do not forsake the guidance of your mother. If we are corrupt, then what are they going to be? If we're getting angry at every little thing, then what are they going to do? If we're going clubbing, doing things that we're not supposed to be doing, coming back in the not proper state of mind, then what are they going to be doing? If we are on the computer, caught doing something we're not supposed to be looking at, then what are they going to do? If we have a lack of faith in Hashem, then what are they going to have? If we don't have self-control, then how can we expect them to have self-control? Right now in this room, it's not just the 80 people here. It's 500. It's you. It's our kids. It's our grandkids. And if we want them to live a certain way, then we have to be that way. If we want a proper home, a proper life, then we need Torah. We have to know how bad all these things are when we go back. Chilling with girls, being in your room when you know you're not supposed to. All these bad things, and to shrug your shoulders saying it's okay. It's not. And I have a question. If we know that Hashem exists, if we know what He wants from us, if we know that for each sin that we do, we're going to get punished, and we even know the punishment to it, why is it that we keep on making the same mistakes over and over again? We know it's wrong. We know we're going to get punished for it, but we still keep doing it. Why? Some answers I've gotten are lat la'at. I'm sure when the Rebbe says lat la'at, He's talking about when a Shana'av kid walks in and says, Rebbe, teach me all of Halacha, Shas, everything in one day. That's, you know, lot, lot. Try stay there for Shir for one day, you'll be crying on the floor. A person comes to Minyan at 8:25 when he knows it starts at 8 o'clock and he says, okay, I got here 8:25 today. Tomorrow, lot, lot, I'll get there 8:24 and 55 seconds. I'm going to get there. Yes, you're going to get there. But you're going to be 95 and your life's going to be over. Another answer is it's hard. Yes, it's extremely, extremely hard. But it's hard when we look at the end of the tunnel. It's extremely, extremely far. And it's extremely, extremely hard. And that's not the way we're supposed to look at it. We're supposed to look at it step by step. The right way, la-la. There's a mashal with when Yaakov gives a bracha to Yisachar, he says that you should be like a donkey with a burden. I don't think any of us want to be like a donkey with a burden, but let's explain that for a second. When the Arabs take their donkey, because they don't have cars, when the Arabs take their donkey and they put their stuff on it, all their merchandise or whatever, and they want the donkey to carry it up the hill. Up this huge hill. It's a heavy burden, and they want the donkey to carry it up this huge hill. So what are they going to do? They're going to blindfold the donkey. Why? Because if the donkey would see this huge hill and this huge burden on its back, it's going to say, there's no way I can do this. I can't do this. And it's just going to stay on the ground, and it's not going to accomplish a thing. That's why the Arabs blindfold the donkey, so it only sees the step in front of him. It goes step by step by step until it reaches the top of the mountain. And that needs to be us when we go back. We need to find the proper time to learn Torah. We say, okay, fine. Today, I learned 45 minutes. No distractions, no nothing. I want to work on that. I want to get to an hour. I want to get to an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half. I want to keep pushing myself. Davening, I'm not making it on time. I'm having trouble waking up in the morning. I need to work on myself to get there earlier and earlier. Shmirat Abrit. We need to go back with a filter. We need to say, okay, the next time I'm going to get the urge, I'm running away one time, two times, three times, four times. I'm going to win. I'm going to beat this. Our midot, we know, derech eretz kadma l'torah. The next time I feel myself getting angry, I'm going to take a step back, I'm going to assess the situation, I'm going to say, okay, 5 minutes, I'm not going to do anything. 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, a day, I'm not going to do anything, and then I'm going to react. And then I'm going to see how to deal with the situation. We need to work on ourselves. It's not okay to just shrug our shoulders and say, okay, whatever happens, happens. I want to read a quote from Yeshaya. And it says, this nation has approached me and honored me with their spoken words, while their hearts are distant from me and their fear of me has become an insincere matter of going through the motions. Therefore, I will continue to punish this nation again and again. In Masechet Megillah, it says why the whole story of Purim had to happen, the whole reason Purim had to happen. And it was because we needed to repent. Why did we need to repent? Because of assimilation and Avodah Zarah. We went to the meal of Ahasuerus and we ate and we feasted. We bowed down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And connecting to that, in the case of Yechezkel, where we bowed down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, we did Avodah Zarah, and then Nebuchadnezzar came and started killing us. And as he was killing us, the Jews started repenting and they said, oh, we're so bad. We're so bad. We're not even going to be Zocha Techiyat HaMeitim. We're so bad. And then after that, Yechezkel was Zocha to bring them back to life. Today, Avodah Zarah is not going into a church, going into a mosque. Today, Avodah Zarah is assimilation. Today, Avodah Zarah is doing what the physical world wants to do. They want us to go party. They want us to go watch inappropriate movies for 6 hours a day. They want us to go hang out with girls. They want us to go smoke up. They want us to do all the physical things that the rest of the world does. And it's bad. And I'm not trying to say that, okay, you have to just stay in your home and learn all day. I'm saying there are ways to make the things that you do, things that we do, justified. If you want to watch a TV show, you want to watch, play a video game or whatever, you say, okay, fine, I had a long day of school, I had a long day of work, and I just need to relax, I can't learn right now. You say, okay, fine, one TV show, one game, and then I'm going right back to learning. That's how to make this stuff justified. Not playing Fortnite for 6 hours, winning one game, guys, I won a game. No. When we go back, we have to decide, who are we going to be? Are we going to be the followers of evil, or are we going to be the leaders of good? Are we going to follow our friends into the clubs? Are we going to follow our friends, go hang out with girls, go drink? Or are we going to lead them and say, no, this isn't what a Ben Torah does. Let's go to Minyan. Let's go learn. Let's go do the right thing. Who are we going to be when we go back? As we're getting to the end of this speech, I want to apologize I know this year I've given a lot of musr to people, and I'm sorry if I've said something that I shouldn't have, or I embarrassed anyone, or I was a little too harsh. I really am sorry, but I want to let you guys know where it comes from. I genuinely try to care about each and every Jew. I really do. And I was listening to a shiur by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, and he quoted William Shakespeare. And he said, "Some are born with greatness, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them." Now yes, there are people that are born with extraordinary gifts. Yes, there are people that achieve great things. Look at the Gedolim, look at the Rebbeim. But each and every Jew has greatness thrust upon them. And to defile that greatness for a momentary pleasure, to shrug our shoulders saying, "Who cares?" That's wrong. We are great. We are great. I want to give everyone a bracha. That Bezrat Hashem, we stay strong. That what we had in yeshiva was not our spiritual peak. That we keep growing, we keep learning. And I know I say this as a joke, but Bezrat Hashem, we all stay kosher, we all stay Jewish. And that we'll be zocha to build the Beit HaMikdash b'mehrah v'aminu, amen.
Amen.
We're gonna...